see.
You'll get feedback.
Wow, that was interesting. I've never heard the actual audio coming through the sound system in here before.
We have monitors. We have sound monitors in the in this here studio, and they're designed so that when we turn on our microphones, that kills the monitors. Otherwise, gnarly feedback.
Yeah, that's great.
So I just looked at my phone. I got nothing. Give me a fun one.
I'll bring up something.
Cool.
I
right
watched.
Now, this moment.
Well, I don't want this to turn into the film vault.
All right.
No, this has nothing to do with
last
the
week
vault.
You brought up that movie that it turned out I had heard of. I actually asked you as soon as we got off air, and I'm like, because it was a very obscure documentary, and I really wish that I had said, oh, that about that chick who was not famous that takes pictures, which I said after
yes.
after the
yes.
show, which made me seem like a legitimate movie knower, but unfortunately, I didn't say it on air.
Did you see it?
No, I don't like to watch movies about chicks.
It's
unless
good.
They're naked.
Yeah, I know, it's tough.
Unless they're naked.
It was hard. It was hard.
Naked getting banged. Unless they look like Khaleesi and they're getting banged.
I watched...
Khaleesi!
Who's that? Who's Khaleesi? The chick from Game of Thrones?
That's right.
Because you're the second person I've heard made that reference.
It's funny, the wife, not a big fan of Khaleesi, right?
No,
well,
why would she?
Actually, she is. She's come around, but like I was talking about how she's like God's perfect specimen. Like she is an amazing, amazing looking woman. And
she's that hot?
Oh, she's hot.
Is she the blonde chick?
How do you know, Tyler? You don't watch the program.
I've seen almost all of the first season.
Is she the blonde?
She's the blonde
chick
with
the dark
eyebrows. That's her.
And she's actually a dark haired normal.
Jillian
person.
Looked her up, and
how
she's
do you
like,
say she's the perfect specimen? Really,
she's perfect. And yeah, then Jillian looked her up, and Jillian's like, guess what? Husband of mine, not so hot in real life. And she showed me all these pictures of where she looks kind of strange.
Did you still go, I could still
see. I didn't let go at all. Like,
I still see the perfectness in there.
That's God just trying different palettes.
Yeah.
On his perfect
specimen. She looks more like a doll to me or something. I don't know. There's something like...
Perfection.
She looks like she might be really tiny, though.
What's pretty great is she's freeing all the slaves, right? So she's like the hot Abraham Lincoln.
Man.
Abraham Lincoln?
Immediate. He's like immediate.
It's not super original, I'm sure.
Abraham Lincoln.
That's a good name for a stripper.
He's the opposite. She's the opposite Hitler, too.
On President's Day.
Because she's like
all about... coming to the stage, Abraham Lincoln.
That would be weird. And she comes out like a fake beard and whips it off. She has like little beards on her nipples. And like little top hats on her nipples. We need to invent a stripper.
George sucks a ton. What?
What?
I couldn't think of a good one.
George sucks a ton.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is that?
He was doing a George Washington thing.
Oh, that's
terrible. I have no idea.
Okay, what?
I was going to say I watched. It brought back fond memories. And
George Washing buns.
I don't know if you're familiar Georgetta. Because of your age. Tyler, but you might be.
He's calling
You're
me
probably
old.
Probably familiar.
That's his roundabout way of calling me
no,
his age.
I was going to say, we both grew up at the pinnacle of Martin Downey Jr.
You and I. Okay. I am familiar with him.
But there's a documentary about him on Netflix, and I watched it and it brought back all... I don't know, but it brought back all the...
I never watched the show. I never had a chance to watch the show, but I was well aware of him. And my dad, a psychologist, he used to see a lot of semi... high-hitting people that worked in the industry, right? Because he was like a psychologist in Beverly Hills. And I remember him telling me, because he would talk way too much about his clients.
Yeah, as everybody does.
He would drop names and stuff. And I remember him saying that he was all proud because he was talking to some agent or some producer who was about to cast Martin Downey Jr. in his movie. And my dad's like, oh, you don't want to do that. That guy's a sociopath. And he's, And then I said, Dad, that guy you're talking about doesn't do movies. He was probably talking about Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, your dad might
and
have stifled
like,
his career.
He's right. You're right, son. He was talking about Robert, and I got them confused. Dumb fuck, Dad. Maybe that's when Robert Downey Jr. started hitting the bottle real hard.
Oh, my God. They stopped getting bookings all because of your dad's fucking big mouth. I've been known to accidentally do that to somebody before.
But you don't have the power of like occupational PhD psychologists behind your name. So it's like people don't...
probably had more power in this one situation. I'll tell you after the show.
Not good for the listener. The listener gets nothing out of that.
My boss, who books all the improvs, 19 clubs.
Are you telling me now then?
Went.
Did you just make that split decision?
And he'll back this story up 100%. In fact, he told it on the air once. asked me what I thought of Daniel Tosh, and I went,
Oh.
He's a hack.
What?
I went, DT. He's a hack. Shouldn't book him. And then I realized after about a year and a half, it wasn't Tosh I was thinking about. It was a guy whose last name is Marley. And I just mistook them reggae guys. Yeah, that was a horrible mistake.
And you mistook them for reggae guys because of the name?
I just remember Tosh Marley. And I went, one of them was just kind of white bread, middle of the road, not funny.
Milk toast.
No, maybe funny, but just not to my taste.
Were you confusing Peter Tosh with Daniel Tosh?
No, a comedian whose last name is
Marley. And no, first
so
name
you
is
did
Daniel.
Like a Marley,
yeah.
Peter
yeah.
Tosh,
yeah.
Daniel Tosh.
Yeah.
Does Daniel know this
reggae
story?
Comedian
yeah.
thing?
Yeah, he Daniel told Tosh. It on the, he told it on Loveline or on the opening show like years ago.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, went into great detail about it.
What's
well, like? You probably cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you want to know something? I probably did. There's no way. There's no denying.
I kind of feel like, and completely before you and I even knew each other, I'm the one who's bandying his name around to replace Carolla, and I got him a good look on Loveline. That was all completely my doing.
Yeah.
Like, no one had ever heard of Daniel Tosh that was in the meetings, and I kept pushing and pushing for this kid, who was a kid back then, and they gave him a good, like, week and a half, and it kind of got him some other things. I'm not saying that that's what led to Tosh.0, but it was, like, shortly thereafter.
It did.
So I made up for it.
You know how much they offered
that's
him?
That's so funny. Before you and I even know each other,
you,
like,
how much they offered
you
him
ruined his career, line? and I brought it back. Yeah, like 30,000 or something embarrassing.
No, no, no. It was 10 times that. But it was still
300,000? That's pretty good.
I've not seen considering a lot how much of penises. He makes. Are you?
That's Tosh. That's not a very good Tosh drop.
Sorry.
I miss Tosh because I don't watch the show anymore.
You know what?
Stopped watching it. Is this going to cost him his career again?
I
gotta start
stop
talking shit.
Talking because I just. Now I'm telling personal information.
Okay. So what's up?
Right, we're just streaming to the world.
Martin Downey Jr. was a loudmouth, very, very controversial talk show host.
Didn't we talk about him on this program, Tyler?
We probably did. Yeah, he had his logo was the big teeth, the
constantly
big mouth,
smoking,
always chain smoking. He died of lung cancer.
His career was kind of like a down the drain, so he tried to resurrect it by getting himself attention and lying and saying the Nazi skinheads
yeah.
had attacked him
yeah.
and beaten him up in a bathroom, and then it turned out that he had done it to himself.
The show started...
And he had spray-painted... Do they cover that part?
Oh, yeah. They cover everything.
He had spray-painted swastikas all over his... swastikas. All over his
swastika
shirt.
Sounds like a delicious appetizer.
We've talked about swastikas on this program. Let's not go back in time and forget. But it turned out like he was doing them in the mirror, so he did them backwards. That's how they caught him.
Here's what I remember about the doc. I remember him vividly. So the show was so it was way before Springer, and it was way more violent. He would get in a guest's face yelling as loud as he can, "Get off my show, you filthy motherfucker!" And you're like, "I know that guy. That's Pat Buchanan. Oh my god, I know him."
Really?
All politicians, all legitimate politicians. And then the show digressed down to having, you know, girls with three tits who are strippers. And,
after they lost, like, that first round of
yeah,
good guests. And
yeah.
the good guests didn't want to continue to come back.
No, he got crazy and started doing crazy things, like sexually harassing people. And then
got crazy?
Yeah, he became a huge celebrity out of nowhere. He wanted to be a singer and became a huge celebrity on the talk show circuit. They interview his three executive producers because he's dead. And they were like, "Okay, this Catholic all girls high school wanted him to speak at their graduation.
Why?
And we'd only been on the air for 1 month." And he goes, "We went there knowing he was just going to get literally lambasted, like, and crucified, and
why
we were
would
terrified."
Anyone book him for
and
that?
And then they said, "We pulled up, and these girls were throwing themselves on the car,
more
screaming.
Like lambasted."
And they actually said,
"Tie tie,
he
two.
Had dozens
work up two for tie
of 14-year-old girls trying to get to him, and he realized he was a huge celebrity at that point." And I was like, "That's fucking weird." And I do not understand that booking and understand that one bit.
That makes no sense.
But he was a fascinating guy because he was so outspoken and so obnoxious
was
and so loud. I don't know, but he chain smoked the entire time, and he blows smoke in the guest faces. And it wasn't like a nobody guest.
That's terrible.
Again, he made who's that horrible racist?
Daniel Tosh.
Scam, not Jesse Jackson, but who's the other guy that's way lower than him on the social scale?
I know exactly who you're talking about.
With the crazy hair,
yeah,
Al Sharpton.
Yeah, he made Al Sharpton's career 100%. Because Al Sharpton was a constant guest.
Kind of like what I did for Daniel Tosh, but what you didn't do for Daniel.
It balanced. It balanced.
It balanced.
Tosh is right where he should be. One idiot fucks it up. One guy does him a favor.
Oh, you could have called me an idiot. It would have made it better.
I said one guy.
I know, but you should have called me an idiot. You should accept it, you know.
But the Martin Downey Jr. thing, that's fascinating. What is that?
I made a little dude out of wax.
What?
It's pretty good. It looks like Indian art.
You know those mini cheese wheels? Mini cheese wheels with the...
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of them. I think they're supposed to be refrigerated, though.
Yeah.
It's cheese.
Yeah.
It's supposed to go bad.
Well, I ate one off the counter out there, and it was a little bit lukewarm.
That's fine.
But the best part is, like, it comes with a little built-in toy, and you can play with that the wax, and I just made a little figure.
If you look at it from my side, it looks like Indian art.
It's a cigarette and a mohawk, so I could see where you go Indian. Oh, shit. I just realized what we've done.
What?
Tyler's slow to the draw, though, so we're good. We can talk about Indians all day and not have to hear that horrible chant. Good to go. Tyler's frozen.
I was just giving you the benefit of the doubt that you weren't talking about my people.
I was. We both were. So, all right, what's up? What else?
Oh, nothing. So,
we're doing the program super early this week, Tuesday at 8, because of Pabby Tai Tai over there. Got a lot of emails and response about the Georgia aquarium.
Oh yeah,
we must go. You can also play with sea otters there as well. Yes, and swim with the.
Hey, I'm in. Whenever you guys make this commitment for us going somewhere, I will go.
I'm all for going.
I will
to
do podcast.
The George,
I will do Ace Hotel cast. I'll do all this.
The
stuff.
Georgia aquarium sounds great, but here's the bad part: is like
we got to get to Georgia.
You walk out of the aquarium when the day's over, and you're in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah, that is the bad part.
Sorry to anyone who lives in Atlanta, but I'd rather be in Nebraska. You know what I'm saying? Remember all the shit that we got from Nebraska?
Yeah.
Bringing a full circle, Tyler. All right. Yeah. Now that
you know what I did last night that was pretty nice that you and Jillian should consider doing because it could have been romantic.
What's that?
Myself and a lady friend were going out to dinner.
Uh-huh.
Not really a date, just going out.
Oh,
and
God.
She said
a couple more qualifications would be great.
Yeah.
Just going out and then coming home and fucking.
No. But it means nothing. It means nothing.
A friend wanted to go out to dinner, and she's like, oh, I want to go down to the beach and go out to dinner. I went, okay, I'll go down there with you. So we cruised down to Malibu and went to that seafood place that's right on the ocean.
Which one? There's three. There's Gladstone's?
This is an outdoor place.
And there's Duke's.
No, this is none of those.
What?
This is an outdoor place. You order, and then you get your food and go sit outside in tables that overlook the ocean.
Okay.
And it's all outdoors. And people, you can bring wine and bring beer if you want.
What?
Oh, Paradise Cove?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. This is just a, you know, it's like.
Did it cost $20 to park?
We didn't have to pay to park.
Mm-hmm.
It's right beneath that trailer park. Right beneath it.
Oh, it's not on the ocean side.
No, it's on the other side.
It's all fried food.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
But it was nice. Yes. It was nice.
There's like a picture, Tyler, of like a lobster sunbathing. That's their logo.
It's great,
a lobster
though.
With sunglasses on sunbathing.
What I'm saying is if it were
the
a date.
The one that I always want to stop at is that Neptune's Catch one.
That's pretty sweet.
That always,
and the bikers show up on Sunday.
Oh, no.
So many bikers,
you know,
I get scared.
That's the one I was looking for.
Neptune's Net.
That's the one I was looking for. Yeah. I was telling her about it. I go, they sell beer and wine.
Local seafood restaurant.
Okay, you know what? I got to go to that one. That's the one I was looking for. Neptune's Net. But I was going to say, if you wanted to go on like a date, this would make a nice date to go down there at sunset.
Here's the thing. The wife doesn't eat any kind of food that comes from the sea.
They have french fries, fish and chips.
They have french fries?
You get the fish, you get the
Here's
chips.
What would happen. We'd walk up there. There'd be too many people because the place is usually crowded.
It was great last night.
And she'd be like, it's crowded and it smells sick. So those exact words.
Okay.
It's crowded and it smells sick.
Well, let's do more L.A. talk. I like discovering the highways and byways around L.A. that I haven't discovered yet. I still... As bitter and as angry of a person as I am, I still enjoy driving over Coldwater and enjoy driving over Laurel, partially because of the history, partially because of the cool houses.
I'm not sure.
And here's what I want to say to you guys. Not to you guys, to everybody. Is for the first time ever, a week ago, we took...
Who's we?
Tara and I.
Okay.
She said
progress.
She's obsessed with the Manson murders and stuff.
Right.
So she found a bunch of addresses and she wanted to go check some out, and then she wanted to go over what's the canyon road down by you?
Benedict Canyon.
She said she wants to cruise Benedict Canyon.
I'm going to kill myself.
That was my commute for the longest time.
We did it and we both thought it was the greatest drive, the greatest canyon road, and then we did it in the day yesterday and it is beautiful and fantastic. And I love that road and I want to live on Benedict Canyon.
I'm sorry. I just went to the After Disaster page. You see it? Yeah, Ty Ty.
Yeah.
Last week we were talking about how no one goes there. And Scott by Scott, our genius web designer, we asked him to make it look like Ghost Town. And Dad, he's got the tumbleweed going by the bottom. And where our pictures used to be, we're all skeletons and there's a cobweb above us.
Why is far, far from the middle?
Because that's still there. You can still listen to the that interview if you like. When Farbarf was on the program.
Wait, no one. What did we say?
We said that no one goes to this website anymore. There's no traffic. We used to use it as like a chat room.
Yeah, no one talks on it anymore.
That's the fucking best.
It's pretty great. God, he's good.
Yeah, he is really good.
I want to be friends with him.
We are friends with him.
Yeah, I don't really talk to him though. I want him to come hang out. I want to drink beers with him.
We essentially invite him every week on this podcast.
Can I tell you how? Can I tell you how? Can
I tell you
how shitty I feel?
Still owe money too. I got to give you some money, Scott.
I owe money too. In one envelope.
That's why he's not coming by.
We'll get you that money, Scott.
I owe you an apology, Scott. Right now, and I'm just going to lay it out on the air publicly.
Oh no! What is this?
No, I'm not.
No, come on.
Knowing full well what the proper thing to do was.
Uh-huh.
He made that logo for me, the Church of Corona logo.
Right, which is great.
Getting it made into t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I I went in to put his name on the on you know, in the bottom, like give him credit basically, because he didn't put that in the logo, and I forgot to do it.
It's okay.
And then somebody else brought up when I was showing her the t-shirt design. She goes, "Did you put the guy's name on it who designed it?" I went, "I fucking forgot."
It's all right.
It's not all right. He'll so now okay. I have to
give, you know what you like, do to make up for it? You give him a shirt.
I'm giving him a shirt and some money.
Yeah.
And I'm giving him a plug on my website.
Hey, you don't have
I don't
to put
that's going
to
do anything.
I don't. What is this shirt you're wearing right now? Okay, you're
It's Bigfoot taking down a unicorn.
It is, and I was going to say, well, there's no name on that, but it looks like
there is.
It's like the only time I've ever seen a shirt with a logo or anything where it's got like the artist's name on it, ever.
I wasn't going to put it huge. I was just going to put it tiny.
Well, you know what you do.
Don't get twisted. He wasn't going to like really credit him so that anyone could actually tell who it was.
It was going to be more the thought. It's the thought that
counts. Here's how you make up for it. The next batch of shirts, have you had them made yet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Make up a new batch the next time when you run out and just have giant Scott by Scott with a tiny little logo down by his name.
All right. Done.
Yeah.
Done and done.
Will that make up for it?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm curious to see if I sell these things.
Well, if you don't, it's Scott's fault. He will not be paid. That's how we do business here on the After Zest. Oh, and this week's Film Vault. It's going to be a good one. Hey, if you guys don't listen very often or if you've always wondered when to tune in, we're doing top five racists. Top five racist characters.
Oh, boy.
Which is funny because on this week's Miscellaneous Adventures
from
the world
of
Mike Carano,
this week.
Talked about racism too. On the podcast I just uploaded yesterday.
Oh, so you're gonna cross promote your podcast here, your other podcast,
your other side project. Time. What else?
With your own racist side project.
Did you guys talk about Q-tips for 20 minutes?
Well, we do the show tomorrow night, so I can't tell you.
Did you have your third in a row nervous breakdown trying to buy sunscreen like I did?
Wait, tell me about Q-tips. Are you trying to say that your program's better? Are we having a program off right here?
I went to
Is that what we're doing? Tit for tat. Did you talk about Q-tips? Did you talk about sunscreen issues?
I'm going to go home right now and record my top five racist movie characters and get that up tonight.
No, like, I'm going to do top six.
Top seven. bottom five.
Bottom five.
Ward Cleaver showed no racist tendencies whatsoever.
The least racist
Therefore,
people.
Not a racist.
Least racist characters might be a Khaleesi.
She freed the slaves?
She's a slave freer.
You got the Abraham Lincoln on your mind.
Abraham Lincoln. I want to see that illustrated. Somebody needs to make a stripper where they have...
Abraham Lincoln.
Little top hats and
that
little
beards.
That
just has to have happened, right? In a strip club somewhere. Yeah, some shit comes out with the top hat and the beard.
Do you think that she went that far, though? Had her nipples dressed up like him, too? Because it would work, because he doesn't have the mustache. So, like, you could have a little beard around the areola, right? And the little nipples.
I like your
We're
top
not that
hat
shit.
Idea.
Yeah. We're not that
I like
shit.
The top. Did he wear
you
a
just
top
paint
hat?
The nipples black, and they could be like top hats.
Did he wear a stovepipe hat or a top hat?
It's a top hat, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was made of otters, whatever it was.
Hey, otters?
When did presidents
No, beaver.
When did presidents stop wearing stop wearing hats?
After they got shot in a balcony.
After that, it was like, I need...
What?
No wind resistance?
I don't know who the last president was to, like, constantly
I've seen pictures of Bill Clinton and George Bush wearing hats when they go jogging and stuff.
All right, so I was up in
Moro... I think that counts. I don't think Lincoln was jogging in his top hat.
This is somewhat related. I was up in Morro Bay all weekend with a bunch of camp fucks. It's a long, hard-to-explain story as to what we do, but there's a group of camp counselors who are pretty tight, and there's one leader who kind of puts together these little events about twice a year, and he calls them Legends of Camp events, okay? And, of course, I'm right there amidst all of it because I love getting together with these people and the pomp and circumstances to go with. Anyways, this most recent time, we were supposed to go to the Madonna Inn, but it was totally sold out. So 11 of us descended on a house that we rented for the weekend up in Morro Bay.
How much?
It was not bad. It was booze, food, and stay for 2 nights, 2 days. It was $130 a person.
Oh, that's nothing.
It's like
that's
cruise.
Great.
Yeah,
that's
it was
great. Did you get your own room?
Oh, no, my room. So it was a 3-bedroom house. It was great because it had a hot tub in the back, right? And balconies. And it was perfect for 11 people, but it's like a 3-bedroom house. So I was wondering how that was going to work. Two big rooms with king beds, right? The two couples stayed in there. Mm-hmm. And then all of us that went up stag stayed in the 3rd bedroom, which we opened the door, and there was literally 7 twin beds in this tiny little room.
So they knew what was happening.
Pretty much, yeah. It was like designed as a clown house for people who wanted to have, you know, like gatherings and whatnot. Because it doesn't matter. They can just go to sleep. Like, I don't remember going to sleep. Either night.
Well, you know? Done.
But it was cool because, like, the TV wasn't even on until, like, halfway through the second day or halfway through the first full day.
Because you're so busy socializing?
Yeah, we're socializing. We're playing games. We're drinking. We're grilling. You know, it's a good time. And you know that you're having a good time and it's good people if the TV's off. And I made a couple of mental notes. Somebody finally turned the TV on and it just happened to be on the BET channel, the Black Entertainment channel, right? Which it continued to be on for the rest of the time we were there. No one turned it off. So it's on BET channel.
What did you watch?
And they had like Denzel Washington movies. They had like American Gangster was on.
I love that movie though.
I think Ray came on after that. And I was kind of like, you know, drinking.
It's kind
and
of racist.
Socializing. Why is that?
I don't know. Just all black movies on the. Those aren't even black movies.
The
actually.
Black Entertainment.
I know. That seems weird.
So I'm watching it. And
like, is there movies that you like, Mike?
Yeah. Because like, those aren't real
why
black
it seems
movies.
Because I like those movies.
The crossover black
American movie. Gangster is great.
It was okay. So I'm watching it, and then and I'm drunk, and there's never sound on it. But I did see something that was pretty sweet that BET did, and I really wish that I could go back and watch this with the sound up. They had made a montage of President Obama doing gangster-esque things at the podium or lectern over the during his time in office.
Like his signals and signs and stuff?
Yeah, and it worked even without the audio, but it would have been way better with the audio, I'm sure. And like, they got one where he's brushing his shoulder off.
Oh, I was imagining this happening like in the lower third, like while you're watching American Gangster.
No, this is like
Obama
after the movie.
Popping up and flashing blood and crip signs.
Every now and again, like my friends would break into like playing beer pong or something just to annoy me. Like the whole weekend, a lot of the activities this weekend were designed to annoy Anderson. They enjoy doing that. And then they film me, and I'm such an idiot, and I have a few drinks, and I forget that I shouldn't give them what they were looking for, and they get me getting, like, enraged. Like, my one thing was I really wanted to go to this bar that Jillian and I had gone to last October when we went up and discovered Morro Bay. And I kept saying, we got to go to this bar. It's called Legends. This is the Legends of Camp Weekend. We got to go to Legends, right? It's apropos. It works. We can get some great photo shots with the sign. And they're like, yeah, I don't think we're going to have time. And then two bitches.
You have nothing but time.
Two bitches walk in like 10 minutes later. They're wearing Legends shirts. They went to the bar without me, bought shirts, and came back to the shitty bar we were at, the Bowie Tavern.
They went after you had recommended that you
after
go
I
there.
Kept saying, like, guys, this has to happen. Because they
well,
know
you
that,
didn't
like,
notice they were gone?
No, there was like a large group, and I was drinking a lot. There was 11 of
them. What were you drinking, by the way?
Everything.
There was so much honesty in that. It's everything. Just all of it.
But these are like camp people, so it's like a different tier. And I told them that I almost brought drugs for the party because I had like a bunch left over because I'm an old man now. And I brought a bunch to Vegas. And I have a bunch left over. And I said I almost brought, after I had a few drinks, I was getting a little loose with the lips. I'm like, I almost brought some drugs. And the house just got quiet.
Ooh.
And they're just like, you wouldn't. Like they were pissed. And they're like, and the one guy's like, you didn't, did you? And they got all scared. I'm like, nah. I use my better judgment.
Then you had to go out to your car and do them by yourself?
I didn't bring any. Thank God. But I still managed to be the only one in the hot tub the last night. No one else was in. Everyone else was sleeping. Even without drugs.
How late did you stay in the hot tub?
I don't know. I'm lucky I didn't fucking fall asleep in there. Because I don't remember going to bed. And the only way I knew I was in the hot tub was because my... why am I admitting all this? Why am I... I shouldn't be talking to you guys off air about this shit. Anyways,
this whole episode I'm not comfortable with already.
My board shorts.
All that Daniel Tosh talk up front. I think that was
wet.
Personal information.
They were wet. Board shorts. Okay. Enough of that.
I don't know. You know what I don't understand? And maybe that's just me being like, I don't know. I don't understand the adults going to a cabin and getting wasted without fucking each other. I'm serious.
We had a great time. And
no,
and I brought Stanley, too.
It seems like even at my in my 40s, I would still be like, oh, we're all going to go get wasted and...
You're like
up.
Waiting for the spin the bottle and the 7 minutes and
yeah, absolutely.
Me, I do. It occurred to me a couple times.
I wouldn't be anticipating it, but I would be thinking it in the back of my
head. Well, because we're both wired, and you know, people are in general. Men are especially wired in general to like every time you go out and you're going to be sleeping away from the house, and there's going to be booze and groups of people. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll get lucky. Maybe something good
will happen. Strange patrol.
I can tell you, at my age, it's not as bad. Not even close to being as bad. Because now I go places and I know I'm just going to the place. But when I was a kid, no matter where I went, it was still, I wonder if I'm going to meet someone.
A couple times, I'm at the bar, we're having a really good time. And then at the Legends of Camp over the weekend. And then I'm like, something's missing though. I'm like, oh yeah, because I'm not like actively swiveling my head looking for some kind of prey.
Yeah.
It's more relaxing, isn't it?
But I mean, you know what?
Kind of, but boring too.
We know this as men that what I'm going to say is really, really true. But
it's like watching a PG movie instead of an R movie.
Yeah,
that's what
I'm
life.
I'm having a good time,
it is.
But
it
I
is
could
like
be
that.
Having a better time.
There was a point in my life where I realized this is a weird mental thing, and it must be just a guy thing. But I remember going to my uncle's funeral, and I thought, I wonder if there's going to be any girls there. I'm dead serious. And I knew there wasn't. It was family members. But I still thought there might be a chance that maybe if someone he worked with or somebody might bring their daughter or something. And I still thought, eh, this might be a good time.
How old was your uncle?
I don't know.
So you're hoping it was going to turn into a poonerl.
I'm saying throughout.
That's three times.
Throughout from when I was.
It sounds a little too much like a poo.
From when I was like 14 years old to when I was like 38 or 39, I still went everywhere thinking maybe I'm going to meet some chick.
All right. How old were you when that happened? When you're hoping to probably meet some strange at a funeral of your family member?
In my 30s.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I might have said it on the show. Years and years ago, I was probably 13 or 14, was in Palm Springs with my family. They went out to dinner. I was supposed to go with them. I didn't. They went to like this hibachi-style restaurant, like Benihana, called Kobe. Love it. That's where we had my bachelor party dinner. And they went there, and you sit with other families around the big frying pan table, essentially.
Unless you can bring enough to fill the table, which you try to do.
So I didn't go, and I remember my mom comes home, and she just casually says, yeah, we sat with this other family. They're very nice. They had a really attractive daughter about your age. And I still remember it, and I still have regrets.
You still want to know what she looked like? Maybe she was Khaleesi.
It was so heartbreaking to me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Absolutely with
you. It wasn't Khaleesi, because Khaleesi was probably 5 at the time. Maybe 2.
I can imagine.
Maybe not bored.
One of the greatest turn-ons you could ever have in life.
I'm old.
Not even turn-ons, but.
It hurts.
When you see families go on these shitty white trash vacations, and they bring their hot daughter.
Where's he going?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, these families.
Are you with you?
I'm with you. Okay. Hot daughter.
Hot. I'm waiting for the arousal.
Let me back
white
up.
White trash families.
Let me back up.
Going on vacation.
I had a friend in San Diego that managed a place called Campland by the Bay, which is a mobile home park on the bay.
Rapeland?
And, some people Trampland. Call it Rapeland. So basically,
Carolla used to always sub in. Adam Carolla used to sub in on Loveline back in the Golden Era. He used to sub in the word rape for camp. So people would say, I'm going camping this weekend. And you'd be like, oh, so you're going raping this weekend?
This was a mobile home park on a peninsula on Mission Bay in a very beautiful part of San Diego, right next door to my high school. Mm-hmm. And my friend was a manager over there. And basically being the manager over there means you just got laid all the time. And he sold drugs and all kinds of weird stuff. And I would go over there and drink.
Who wants to constantly bang the camp?
Because they're always different.
Because there's always grandparents.
They don't bug you the next day. They're gone.
Grandparents and old parents that don't give a shit about their kids. Rolling in there just to sit in their motorhome for 3 or 4 days in San Diego, en route to somewhere, and they have the hot daughter or the son and the kids all just congregate.
Aren't they all
the
underage though?
No, they're all ages. Like,
I don't think 22-year-olds go with their grandma on a road trip.
I never touched a single person. I never met anyone there.
You're talking about
the other people. I was 18 at the time, 17 or 18 at the time when I was
zero
there.
Accusations your way. You're very defensive.
My point is,
you're talking about your friend.
It doesn't matter.
Is there a
friend?
Were you the manager? Were you the manager of Rapeland for a short period?
My friend was in high school.
Oh, he what? And he managed it in high school?
Yeah, he was like an assistant manager that closed up at night or something, the snack bars, or the where they took reservations.
I guess the snatch bar was open all night.
I would go there and hang out with him and other people from high school, and we would just drink there, and we would watch the families and the disgruntled kids just get high and drink with each other around a big bonfire or playing tennis or playing ping pong in the rec room or something. And you just
so 70s.
You would just go.
It really is.
This was 1980.
I'm imagining a lot of jean shorts and little skateboards.
Mid-80s.
High socks with the stripes. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I just remember going, there is no greater prey right there than the super hot, resentful, angry, hates her parents, hot 17 or 18-year-old girl that got forced into an RV vacation with her older parents. And then she gets there, and there are just a bunch of dudes and a bunch of other kids that want to get fucked up. And it was, what was the point of this?
I don't know.
Did I open this by saying my greatest fantasy? Because I hope that wasn't what I said.
No, you opened it by saying there is something very arousing or something along those lines.
Well, okay, like you're, well, like I was
I understand
saying,
what you're saying.
You go to a wedding, and you're like, oh,
if you're
look at her, I have a crush on her. Like, how do you not have a crush, and you're regretting not meeting a girl that you don't even know what she looks like? Of course. My point was
that wouldn't happen now. Like I could go out.
So
to,
many white
I do.
Trash
I go out to lunch
that
or
I
dinner.
I would have hit on at that camp line and I never did.
With my parents, and there's like a chick, a fairly attractive girl my age, sitting like right across from us, and I don't even notice it until we're leaving. And I might never notice it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's
painful.
Gone.
It's painful.
It's dead.
It's painful.
It's like you're a snail with no more antennas.
It's nothing like that. Now
you
we
would
talking-
trade your wife and your marriage in just to have one more shot at that hot chicken Benihana.
No, sad that would be.
How much would you pay to just see a photo of that person?
I'd say $40.
Maybe $5.
Yeah.
Is it $5?
Well, what's he going to do? It's either going to be like, oh, look, it's a little kid, because she'd be like 12 or 13. Or she's going to be like really cute, 12 or 13, and I'm going to feel creepy
photo,
and have more
regret.
You get
a photo of her then and a photo of her now.
No, I don't want to know. I saw Corey Feldman at the exact same restaurant, too, on one of the times that I did go.
I saw Corey Feldman two weeks ago. That was terrifying.
I watched Lost Boys 2 weeks ago.
Why would you do that? Because friend had never seen it?
It's great. Yeah, that's exactly why I did it. Mm-hmm. And she thought it was the cheesiest thing. She thought it was cheesy and thought it's the 80s must have sucked. And I
went,
okay, you're right.
You seen a documentary called Milius?
Yes, I did.
All right. I'm going to be talking about that on the After Disaster tomorrow.
That's tonight.
Yeah.
No, that's tomorrow. Or shoot. You're going to do yours
After
tonight.
Disaster is definitely...
Oh, the film vault!
Definitely right now.
We talked about the film vault tomorrow.
Did you record yours?
Milius, Dead, God's Pocket. Dead. God's Pocket, Milius, and Zilla.
Did you know about him before you saw that documentary?
Godzilla. Very little.
Me too.
Very little.
Very little. And I couldn't believe how well regarded he was.
It's kind of because of his present state, I think. It's like anytime anyone dies or something terrible happens to him, everyone...
No, they seem to like him during the course of... You know my favorite story in that entire documentary was the David Milch story? About how he gave
him
the money.
And then he paid him back.
Yeah.
Did you tell that story
in the film vault?
I'm going
to. You sure skated over it now.
Well, I don't like to give away like key points.
Well, people just heard us talk about it and bring it up, and then you just ended it. And they're like, well, you're probably going to tell the story in detail on the film vault.
No, I'm not.
And then you're going to skate over then.
The only thing I really knew about Milius, other than like his name on credits of like Red Dawn, and God, this must be boring for people
what about
who don't.
Jaws?
I have no idea what's happening.
He didn't do anything on Jaws.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he wrote the one speech.
Yeah. He wrote the speech.
He wrote the speech.
Sean Connery movies.
He wrote some speeches for Red October. But Big Lebowski, Walter's character, one of the greatest characters in the history of cinema, as far as I'm concerned. My favorite character by far in The Big Lebowski is John Goodman's character. And I knew that he was based on this guy named Milius, who had written and directed Conan the Barbarian and Apocalypse Now. But that's all I knew of him. And it was unofficial, too. Like, the Coen brothers didn't officially say, hey, John Goodman's going to be playing John Milius. Mm-hmm. John Milius?
Yeah. I don't know.
Tune in on the Film Vault and you'll find out, because I'll have my research in front of me.
I did like that documentary.
The Institute.
What was that about?
On Netflix. It's a new documentary that was added just recently. It's about there was like this crazy like alternate reality game going on in San Francisco.
Tyler.
What?
Documentary talk's over.
Oh, okay. Sorry. See you guys.
Now, what was it? The Institute?
It's called The Institute, and they're like all the... It's kind of like Resurrect Dead meets like a real life version of the game, like the film, the game.
Right.
And it's just like the citywide kind of art experiment game thing that people didn't really understand what was happening. But you basically, you follow the clues. You end up downtown in this weird little room and you get like indoctrinated into this program. And then you get like your little like kind of game card.
Is this LARPing? Is it same as LARPing?
It's like super intense, like never ending 24/7 kind of thing. It's really cool.
I'm not going to watch it.
It went on for years.
Is it?
I have no interest in watching that.
Is it a money generating thing, or is it just some sort of movement, or is it?
It was like these art guys that did this thing, and it went on for years. And it gets confusing about what parts of it are real, what parts of it are fake, where the game ends, where.
Like when you say they indoctrinate you, do you mean like it's got like religious?
No, there's like a room that you go to, and like this like guy comes on the screen, and it spouts all this like nonsense. It's kind of like a culty thing, but it's weird. It's good though.
Because my culty shirts go on sale soon. I am starting a cult. I've made the decision.
Hey, can you still buy your pictures?
Oh, shit. I meant to take that down.
Still on there. Hey, if you want prints from Corano,
they're still available
on the
AfterDisaster.com. Thursday when I get back in town. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to leave some of it up, but not all the other things that are...
Okay. Hey, did anyone buy it and you just never sent it? Any of your prints that you had for sale?
Well,
Has that happened?
It did take a while for some people.
It's weird. It's shocking.
Mm-hmm. Like there's a couple of tubes in my trunk that are going out tomorrow.
Mm, it's been hot out here, people. He didn't mean to age those. It just happened.
You've only been there for like a day.
I know. It hasn't even been hot. I'm joking around.
I feel, you mentioned funerals earlier.
Yeah.
And it got me kind of thinking
hard
in my head.
No more death.
It's not death. I'm just wondering if either of you has ever laid in a coffin. I feel like at least 1% of that room has laid in a coffin.
Yes.
I don't think I ever have. Have you really? Have you really?
Yes.
Wow.
Of course.
Have you, Tyler?
Oh, no. I did that one of you fucks had, though.
How'd you get that opportunity?
I've laid in a couple coffins. I used to have this idiot friend of a friend who slept in a coffin, so of course I had to lay in that fucker. Yeah. I had some idiot friends of friends. Like, I would never hang out with those people, but like I would be around and I'd be at their house because they had the stuff.
How long into knowing that person does it come out like, oh, by the way, I sleep in a coffin?
Pretty quick with those type of people. How? Like, I knew about it before I went to his house.
If you had nowhere else to sleep, that was the only soft padded place to sleep. How much would you wedge in to make sure the door to make sure it doesn't close? Like, I'd want the whole top removed.
Well, no, I don't think that it's not like a refrigerator. Refrigerator.
Doesn't matter.
Are you the one who hates the word refrigerator?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes. I just did that by mistake. I just couldn't recall the word. Refrigerator.
Refrigerator.
Refrigerator. Yeah, I think that the dead's going to like come back to life and try and come out, so they make them so they lock from the outside.
I just gave my nephew a lecture on refrigerators, and I scared the shit out of him. Because he goes, I was causing serious trouble at a party.
But think about those kids that die in the refrigerator. Yeah. Do we need those kids growing up? Because, I mean, they're hanging out in places where there's just refrigerators discarded.
Usually it's like at the bottom of a lake. Like, really, you slam down to the bottom, then you get inside the refrigerator.
That doesn't happen. That's like a little Houdini's trying tricks.
Okay, by the way, you just saying, do we need those kids? And then me possibly ready to chime in with, yeah, fuck them. They're stupid. It's so hypocritical because we are two of the exact same people that would get in the refrigerator.
I know. I'm just talking Darwin and thinning the herd and being a
dick. No, my nephew goes, let's put Loretta in the refrigerator.
Who's like Loretta? Is it a dog?
No, we were causing trouble and running around playing ping pong and stuff.
What is this recent?
Sunday, yeah, is this Sunday. 1954? Sunday.
Is this at the camp land?
No, Sunday. And I kept putting them in the sink and I kept throwing them in the trash can and we were causing a lot of problems. And I was told you really need to calm down a lot. You know, I was the only adult that was louder than the kids screaming and yelling. But he goes, let's put her in the refrigerator. I went, no, we never put someone in the refrigerator. And I had to give him the lecture. And then
the fridge? It was like operating fridge.
It was a community
plugged in.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But I said, you know, in the 50s, kids would climb into refrigerators and they had locks on the outside of the doors and they would get locked in and they would suffocate or freeze to death or die either way. And they had to stop putting the handles on the outside of the door. You know, that remember
the ones where they pull it and it would like click open. Wait,
but I scared the shit out because he was just sitting there looking at me wide-eyed and I went into detail. Like, a lot of kids suffocated. You get in there, you can't get out.
And it was usually the kids that would like play with like in the trash heaps where there was just discarded fridge.
Those refrigerators had no door handle.
Can we call
them
fridges because the refrigerator thing is a mouthful.
The refrigerators in the 40s and 50s had no door handles to get out.
The fridges.
They just and it had the clamp, you know, where it closed.
Where do kids go like in the functioning ones that are standing upright that are plugged in with actual food and drawers and stuff?
You got to get some of the food out.
I remember my nephew was standing in one, and I yelled at him.
I think I might
know
my kids in the fridge if there's a whole bunch of groceries on the outside of the fridge. Maybe he's in there.
Hi, Lindsay.
Folksgener Lindsay, who I call the Antichrist, just came in.
The thing is now, if you're strong enough, you can kick the door open, a vacuum that's formed when you close the refrigerator door, which makes it very, very difficult to open from the inside.
There's a vacuum in there?
How? With a little woman attached, and she cleans it constantly. She's constantly cleaning. Yeah. How have we not got to the point in society where everything's kid-friendly and kid-safe that, like, there's not only no vacuum left, but, like, a little, like, pull lever inside the fridge?
We need the vacuum.
Okay, you have to
have
it. It's
got to be sealed so cold doesn't get out, and that's what creates the vacuum. But
I know, but fuck that. If it means kid safety, I'll go with rotten
food.
All
you got to do is keep your refrigerator stocked.
I thought we were going to switch over to fridge. We switch over to fridge?
The other thing is, I was at a really high-end store, mm-hmm. like probably 2 years ago. That's an old story. But either way, I had never seen an all-glass refrigerator.
Yeah, we don't tell any stories from the past on the show.
Where you all
can
glass?
See, you can see all the food from the outside.
That's pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, those are weird.
Yeah.
Too futuristic for me. I have to keep my kitchen so clean.
How clean do you have to keep? Oh, my God. I took pictures. Near the Melrose Improv, there's a brand new house that
me
was just built.
Me and Mike just bonded over something like we never have before. Oh, no. My God. I have to keep it so clean.
There's a high-end house near the Melrose Improv that's higher end than the neighborhood that's a brand new construction, and they have a glass garage door. And I just stood there like mesmerized. And I was like, that's horrible.
Is terrible. Is this an actual residence?
Yeah. Yeah. It's for sale.
What?
It's for sale. It's like one block away from the club. And it's not one piece of glass. It's windows. But it's solid glass with little metal borders. You can see 100% of what's in the garage.
Why would you ever want to like show people what's in your garage?
Absolutely not. Why would you? Absolutely.
So that's the kind of guy that has two sports cars and nothing else in there.
Yeah, but that's
no, that's why it's like a display case.
I know, but you're asking for trouble.
But you want to make sure everyone knows what kind of cool car you have, but you don't want to leave it outside
the
elements.
You can afford the trouble.
But the refrigerator, you need to keep that thing fucking spotless.
I would like that.
And organized.
Because it's such a pain in the ass to open the door, pull out the drawer, see if the lettuce is wilted. You can just look.
Yeah.
It would save seconds of your life every day.
How, by the way, does one keep celery and lettuce from getting soggy?
Those little green bags.
What does that mean?
They're like produce bags that you can buy for like, they're overpriced because I get them in the 99-cent store. They're the exact same.
What do they do?
But they're like $9.99 in regular markets, and they somehow, I don't know how the science of it all works, but it keeps stuff fresh. Actually, I should use some today.
Because I buy kale, as I did this evening.
Yeah, get the green bags.
My guess is that you buy too much, Mike.
I'm buying enough to make juice for 3 days, and I put it in the fridge, and within 2 days, it's soggy.
Are you like a health nut?
Mike Carano, kale juicer.
If you would have seen me jamming 20 deep-fried shrimp in my gullet
last
night.
Yeah, you're like the best of both worlds.
I eat very healthy and then very unhealthy in the same city.
Throughout the city. Oh, at same city. Same sitting.
Within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Same sitting.
I got the nose thing is stuffy because I'm smoking and I'm not smoking. Pick the worst time in the world to quit smoking. Don't ever start smoking, guys, because then you're like me.
Ever stop, and then you know,
but I can't keep going because I'm coughing like an old man. Like all my idiot friends, my camp fuck friends over the weekend, they're like, "Nice hack, Anderson." And they're all like looking at me and judging me because they all drink like fish, but none of them smoke or do drugs, so I'm the bad one. But now is like the time that I really need to smoke because I'm very super stressed. With the shoot coming up and all.
Oh, yeah.
Got the shoot this Saturday. Like, I'm some kind of, like, Vin Diesel and visionary Fast and Furious film director all of a sudden. I think that I can direct, like, five.
So if I drive out there to hang out with you guys, am I going to be in the way? Or is it going to be one of those things
where I'm not
going to see
anything? There's just not going to be anywhere for you to, like, hang. It's going to be boring because it's like we're constantly in cars.
Are you doing any stunts?
Kind of. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I think that I should be directing I'm not an action director.
Do you want my Steadicam?
I just really like the idea of it. What's a Steadicam look like? We'll talk about that off air.
Steadicam.
When you tell me about the racist thing that happened.
Yes. No, I have something to tell you. It's going to be disturbing. And I definitely am not going to bring it up in the air. But
sorry,
you know what I do
for everyone
bring up?
Not named Mike Anderson or Tyler.
Do you guys know
how
afraid I am of scary things and or scary movies?
No, it was not. Well, I don't think we really talked about
seven
that.
Out
well,
of
I
10.
Can't sit through scary movies at all. I freak.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just scared of everything, sort of, like bugs and stuff.
Yes, I know.
Have you seen these billboards around town for the horror camping thing they have going
yes,
on?
Yes, I have.
Oh,
I didn't really
I could never
up much on that, though. What is it, an actual event that you go to and
yes.
they just fuck
you
with
like
you?
Like camp, and they just terrify you the entire time.
Why would anyone want to do that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I could never.
You camp and watch horror movies, and they terrify you. The whole, like, for days. Like,
that sounds awful.
That
really
sounds
does.
So terrible.
Like, what's the next step? Like, you just go to a rape camp where they just, like, they show you rape films, and then they're raping you in the night?
Did I play that video for you guys of the scariest haunted house in America?
In the whole
USA. Where they, like, it takes, like, 2 hours to get through it, and they slap you and, like, pour like blood on you.
You have to like sign a waiver.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Wait, what about the one you go through naked?
I think that might be this one.
Oh,
like
no.
It is.
Are
you strip down completely naked.
Some people get like tied up like with duct tape, and they just keep you in the corner of a room for like 45 minutes. That's your time in the haunted house while like scary hillbillies.
Okay, that's
like,
not that's not a haunted
yeah,
house. That's S&M now. This is like sadomasochism.
It's like super evil S&M, terrifying.
I'm in.
This sounds like a club more than a haunted house.
Yeah, let's do it.
The trailers are terrifying. I'll find out what the name of it is.
You want to know what I did within the last... I don't want to incriminate the place, but I was in a place of business who's known to be snoopy in regards to their employees, like spying on their employees, and I was bad-mouthing that place with one
they're
of
not
the...
They're not a dog that
with
sleeps
one
on
of the employees.
Doghouse?
With one of the employees. And I know they recently installed security cameras and stuff, and I went, God, I hope they don't have recorders in here, and he goes, that's illegal. And I went, oh, good. I went right back to bad-mouthing.
What if they have lip readers, though?
No, but I just took his word for it. That's illegal. I'm like, yeah, fuck
I
them.
I doubt
man.
That they'd put
I know.
Micro. Apparently I mean, it's everything's illegal. For security. It's not like anyone's going to come in and, like, yell your stuff stolen.
But it doesn't matter to me. He's the guy that works there, but I was ripping, like, his bosses for just being incompetent.
Well, just to let you know, I, myself, am imagining this the improv, and so is most of our listeners probably as well. So you should probably say the name of the place so that no one thinks you're just talking about the improv.
Well, I was talking about the improv.
I thought you were, right? No. No?
I was sitting in a bar.
Okay.
At the improv.
It's good stuff.
I was having a personal conversation with the bartender, and I went, God, I hope they're not recording this. And he goes, that's illegal. And I went, oh, yeah, okay, good. And I just took his word for it.
So I've been getting a call from Tennessee at 7:15 every morning. Mm-hmm. And it's from a Google fucking phone number, GV phone number.
Yeah.
You know, like the fake phone number you can get that's real, that it's not fake. It's like through your computer and it doesn't really use phone lines. And it's from Tennessee, and it's telling me to vote for some fucking candidate, like local candidate in Tennessee, every morning, 7:15. What do you do about that?
Vote.
I'm not registered in Tennessee.
I don't know what you do about it. I guess you should have opened the show with that, and we could have badmouthed them for an hour.
And I guess I erased it because I was so enraged.
You can block it.
Oh, you can? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll figure that out.
Like, click on that number. See the very right of the screen?
Mm-hmm.
Find that number, and then click that I, and then at the bottom it'll say block call.
Okay, we'll do it. We'll do that off air because this seems really boring. But yeah, that's good to know if any listeners are being terrorized like I am. Because what I do is I sleep with a sleep machine on, which is sweet. Like, it just blocks out every sound. When Tyler slept over, he's like, why is a space shuttle? That's what I sleep with. But what happens? What happens? It's supposed to be a waterfall. But what happens is when somebody calls or texts, it just goes dead for a second. And then I wake up because I'm like, where'd the space shuttle go? And then I try to go back to sleep. And Tennessee is waking me up every morning at 7:15 with deafening silence, if you followed that.
Do you want me to return back to the haunted houses real quick?
If you got more,
I got some actual info about it.
Wait, I want to show you something first.
This is an audio podcast.
In San Diego, Mike.
I was at Pickup Sticks today.
Audio podcast.
And I almost did this to you.
He's pointing at me.
I'm so glad I didn't, because I realized after the fact they have an iPad there. Mm-hmm. And they go, put in your number and we'll text you with specials and stuff.
Right. Oh, that would be so infuriating.
So I started putting my friends' numbers in there. And I did a couple of them.
That's really mean.
And then I was getting to you, and I was like, I can't do this because this is going to be like.
Thank you for not doing that, because that would be very upsetting. Very upsetting.
Where in San Diego is this?
San Diego.
Doesn't say where?
It's called the McCamey Manor.
The part that's on fire.
And there's a chance I'm going to go there, and they're going to duct tape my mouth and throw me in the corner naked for 45 minutes, and then they're going to come back and go, rides over?
The whole thing apparently is like to benefit like a dog shelter.
So they have dogs gnawing at your peanut butter dip balls?
Yeah. The cost is $60 plus a dog food donation or $75. It takes 2 to 3 hours.
This is totally created by cat lovers who just hate dogs, and they know that there's no money going to be raised because who the fuck's going to do this? Right? What?
Is this Haunted Mansion open year-round?
Nah, I don't think so.
So, but what you said was correct. I mean, are you telling me that you
participants
there's a chance?
Are covered in blood, forced to eat disgusting things, threatened with power tools, and stuffed into a clothes dryer? It takes 2 to 3 hours. The photos are scary, but that's not the number one haunted house.
Wait, you get stuffed into a clothes dryer?
Yeah,
I don't see how that's legal.
It's a home haunt, so I guess they can do extra things because it's their own house.
Some haunted house goers are brutally raped, thrown in the backyard naked. Spit on.
These are the selling points.
This one, the Blackout Haunted House in New York, is apparently the most terrifying.
They got one, I think, out here in L.A. now, too, where it's completely, you can't see anything, right?
This guy says, in the 7 events I've attended since 2010, I have been abducted in a van, faux waterboarded, rolled naked in a sheet of plastic, and forced to walk barefoot down a used condom-covered hallway.
How do they get that many used condoms?
That'd be so easy to slip. Ugh. I mean, I think that's probably,
how's that even a haunted house?
They're not really used.
Jesus Christ.
Like, who? I don't understand who's like, yeah, I know what I'm doing Saturday.
Yep.
I barely, like, want to go to someone's house on, like, a Saturday. Like, oh, come over.
Yeah, shouldn't these people just, like, sign up for the war?
Right? Used condoms.
The war sounds better than this.
Well, you say that now, but once we're getting shot at, we wish we had that hallway of used condoms.
I wish I was being rolled naked down a hallway of used condoms.
I've seen a lot of like scary movies and haunted house movies, and I don't think used condoms have ever been employed in any of them.
I don't think being stuffed into a dryer is.
Are these like ghosts that love safe sex? What's happening?
Yeah.
No, it's like you've been captured by like demented people. Can't see anything. It's blackouts. You can't see anything.
They're probably not really used.
They had that one Dexter episode where like this crazy serial killer was like when it started to get really stupid. Like his whole thing was he was like a normal looking house in the corner, and he created like this maze and with like strobe lights and chain link fences, and he would chase his victims. He would like go pick up chicks at a bar, bring them back. And then they'd, like, pass out. I think he drugged them. And then they'd wake up, and like, he'd be wearing a mask, and he'd be chasing them through the house with a chainsaw, and he'd kill them.
What? Who did this?
Kind of fun.
This is Dexter, when the show started getting stupid. But it's like one of these actual haunted houses.
Well,
but
remember?
That I was angry that that was a real thing, and I'd never heard of it.
Well, it is a real thing, and you're describing it.
Famous serial killer in Chicago during the World's Fair that built that house.
Oh, my God!
Are we going to talk about
it again? Just last week, the White Devil. Holmes.
Yes.
Holmes.
Literally, yes. Like...
1893.
5 days ago, we were talking about this.
1893, and you kept telling me it was 1900, and I'm like, no, Mike, it's 1893. And then,
no.
Okay, I'm truly.
I'm gonna. If he doesn't remember, I'm taking the credit.
I'm truly an idiot. I forgot we talked about.
We didn't talk about his house.
Are you sure that was the right World's Fair? Because there's lots of World's Fairs.
One week ago. No, there's not.
Yes.
I got the date confused with that book that I really love, The Alienist, and because that's 1901. So that's what was happening. I got the, because the books are very similar. The Alienist is a great book.
How do they keep those condoms from drying out?
They keep putting new ones down because they probably get like $60 per person, I think he said.
Yeah, they just have a guy in the corner.
You got like a frat house in
what
the
if
corner?
To get in, they're like, it's $60, can of dog food, and
or
one used condom.
A sperm donation.
And one used condom. Ah! All right, enough of this. Come on, we're not that show. Let's move on. I got nothing. That's right.
You know how topical this show is? We're talking about haunted houses. In
It's almost exactly 6 months ago, seven months ago.
Hey, kids, only 5 months till Halloween.
All right, let's move on. Hitler's birthday was a month ago today.
Okay.
Just as upsetting as when you said it 50 minutes ago before the show started.
I was talking about it, like, you don't want to be that creepy guy. That
it was weird that you came in wearing the shirt, though, that says, hey, guys, Hitler's birthday was a month ago.
I'm not wearing a shirt that says that. It says STP.
I only wear that maybe on one day.
But, yeah, how creepy and funny a character it would be, like, if he's just constantly reminding you, like, 6 months from today is Hitler's birthday. We'll let you know. Like, you know those annoying chicks that are constantly counting down their fucking birthday?
Yeah.
But it's a guy
like
that,
all of them?
That does it.
It's my birthday week. Bitch, I will cut you.
No, birthday month. I've heard that numerous
birthday
times.
Birthday month?
Yeah.
That's not even a thing. You can't have a month.
Ridiculous. Let's not ever say, bitch, month. I'll cut you again, because that's like hack.
That's like, I'm going to go with a 51-week Hanukkah.
So when are you the comedy police?
I am been comedy police for some time. That's why I don't go on Twitter. I can't see. I just can't stand to see all the people
you're
thinking they're funny.
Fucking enforcement.
I can't. Doesn't it kill you when you're on Twitter and you see everyone just ripping everyone?
I don't read it.
Oh, yeah.
Mike just opens the door, throws something out of it, and shuts it.
Mike's like the guy at the party. Like, he's out in the hallway, and he'll open the front door and yell out a joke. And then
close the door. Slam.
That's my new thing. I'm just going to wear headphones and take it off when I want to speak and put them back on. I'm such a douche. Like earmuffs.
It'd be like an 80s high school movie character.
Yeah. But I'm going to wear those, like, those ones you shoot in or you direct planes with.
But never even take them off.
No,
you don't ever have to take them off.
Just screaming.
I'll just, like, notice when no one's mouth is moving. Hey, you guys.
And but you're commenting
I
about
the feedback.
People on the... But how do you get the feedback?
We should do an
I go like this.
No, but how do you get the feedback in real Twitter?
Oh no!
Do you read your mentions?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Damn. We should just we should do an episode where we wear those heavy duty ear things so that we can
heavy duty.
We'll all sit in the same room and we'll have to yell so we can actually hear each other.
Or we'd have to read lips.
You know what we should do is come up with ideas to do on the show and then never do them.
Or we should just come up with regular ideas topics to talk about instead of coming up with all these gimmicks.
The podcast is not a gimmick. That's
it's
solid.
A dream.
You know what's funny, guys? If you really think about it. Like, I know this is a catastrophe sometimes, and we don't come into this prepared. And every week, I think I'm going to sit down and prepare something, and every week I fail.
You haven't given up that yet?
I did it today. I'm like, okay, I'm going to hike, I'm going to take a nap, and then I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to come up with some, I'm going to jot a couple of ideas down.
I would be very bothered and scared if you actually came in with, like, you like had your little papers and you stacked them on the table.
I reflect back on the show. Sometimes we sit here with a bottle of Jack Daniels and drink until we're all in no condition to speak. Just blathering whatever kind of shit was coming out of my mouth.
That's when the show was good.
Kind of. But it still fucking freaks me out to think
that
we recorded Downtown Debacle and then uploaded that.
Well, it's good marker to show like how bad the show can be and all the rest sound so much better. This
really?
Is the part of the show
Downtown
where...
Downtown Debacle keeps you up at night?
No, I think about it every now and then. I'm like, we recorded nothing.
And then, there's
plenty of stuff that we record. Like, I tried to start a fight with an actual gangster, and I tried to get you guys to come with me to go fuck with him because I was that drunk and stupid.
God, I was so
that
angry.
That was uncomfortable.
I was so angry.
That was fun.
Day.
And then I started, like, destructing, like, mailboxes and, not mailboxes, but newspaper boxes.
And then to that terrible King Eddie's.
Skid Row.
It's
not a bad episode.
I was so miserable.
We talked to that homeless guy who was wearing the glasses that said 2011.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it was like not New Year's, nor was it 2011.
Well, speaking of podcasts, and especially this podcast, do you want to do an advice?
Yes, let's do that. Because I have two things in my phone that I've been meaning to research for weeks now. And one is about a chick that had sex with a guy on a plane in the bathroom. And it was so loud that they actually had to break the door open because they're having
this.
But I don't have any details, so I'm not going to talk about it.
She just met the guy on the plane. She was with her parents traveling to Las Vegas.
She was with her.
London.
Oh, it was one of your kids.
In
she was
San
with
Diego.
Her parents. She was in her early 20s. And she met the guy on the plane.
And they're going to Vegas from London. I know
and
that.
And she got him into the bathroom, and they were so loud that they kicked the door in.
So is that just like, are they still together? Is that like passion?
No,
like they just
found
each other.
She's trying to give the FU to her parents, sort of.
And the rest of the play. Yeah. Why do they freak out to the point where they had to kick down the door, though?
I don't know.
Just let it happen. It'll be over.
They think that's how people, the noise they make when they're building a bomb.
Very arousing.
Clearly, they're putting wiring together.
What about Chase Bank cutting off porn stars' accounts and just saying, hey, we can't have your money in here anymore?
I don't know if that's 100% true, but I think it is, because I've heard two of them interviewed so far, and they said that the bank cut them off. But then again, that's what a porn star would say if their account was being closed for any other reason.
Or if they had like overdraft.
That's what I mean. Yeah. They'd be like, they're closing my account because I'm a porn star.
Okay.
But then again, I
Tell
did
more
hear
about what porn stars would say in
That's what Abraham Lincoln would say that for sure.
I did hear on a talk show them say that they had somebody who I don't know or trust or shouldn't believe, but I did hear somebody on a talk show on that station say that they know that Chase Bank has discriminated against people because they were in the adult film business, like producers as well.
So is it a Mormon bank? That doesn't make any sense to me. Why would
I don't
they
know.
Care?
I don't know.
Why would they zero
like,
in on?
More like Chaste Bank.
Oh.
I don't get it. Chastity Bank. I don't get it.
If you're chaste, you're very like moral.
Never heard
very...
that before. Never heard that. I don't think anyone's heard that before.
Yeah, I've heard
I think
it.
You just made it up.
Don't. I've heard it.
Say you've heard of it and you've never heard of it?
I have.
No. All right, let's do some 80 advice.
I've heard of it. I'm smart, you guys. I've heard of it. Hold on, I gotta Google and see what the
Anders
fuck
is the comedy police and the I never heard that word before.
You know I heard that word in the
really
fucking
talk
Bible somewhere.
The fucking Bible, he says. That's so horribly offensive to so many people.
All right. This is says, what's up, guys? Me and my buddy are trying to make a podcast. Oh, dear. You've come to the wrong place.
Cha-ching!
And while we're not directly ripping you off, I can't deny that we are heavily inspired by you guys. Depressing, I know. Now we figure if you guys can do it and Mike can do it, how hard can it be?
Wow, got a point.
Very offensive. My question is, how do we get a following and have a successful show? You know, besides actually releasing content frequently and probably having my buddy settle down on some of his racist remarks.
Wow. Well, that works for us, actually.
Yeah, Wiz was right in our wheelhouse.
You don't. Move on. Start painting or writing.
Next.
No, I think of the podcast world, it's kind of like the 405 and the 101, like the heavily traveled freeways we have out here in the Southland. And I don't know if we need any more traffic. Bandwidth
well, I
think
is, you gotta have like a gimmick now. Unless you're like a name, you can't just come out with it's a comedy podcast and get any sort of following.
Now, this is going to sound wrong probably coming from me, but I have listened to a number of podcasts, many of which are out there, namely because they have names, like you just said, and most of them, name or otherwise, just unlistenable, right? What is that?
I'm going to back you up on that one.
The disaster of this show should not be saying like other podcasts are terrible.
And I should also say I'm a hypocrite. I'm a fucking colossal hypocrite, but I do...
However,
every two
like
or three
share.
Months, I download a dozen or 14 podcasts. The top
never
the, top,
15,
tops
never
of the charts
11.
Of iTunes, mm-hmm. or people that I know, and I listen to the snippets on the way to San Diego to figure out what people are doing.
What do you like?
Realistically, I like a few car podcasts. Uh-huh. I think I like a couple of those NPR shows. Mm-hmm. The Film Vault. Mm-hmm. I do listen to the Film Vault. You know,
that was very nice of you. Thank you. Thank you.
There's probably like five. I like MacBreak Weekly. I skip through all the a lot of it though. But you know, like Autoblog, I listen to that. I listen to Corolla's Car Show, a few others. Not that much. But it's normally I just go. Most of the stuff sucks. Mm-hmm. Most of it does.
So does regular radio though.
Absolutely.
You know,
regular radio is probably
the
worse.
Only thing that I like more about regular radio than podcasts is the live element where, you know, something could happen and they'll jump in. But then you're going to start getting like really erroneous information right off the bat.
It's so, always
well,
it's
you could come here and just get some erroneous information.
I know, but live radio
timeless erroneous information.
We could tell you like bullshit stuff about haunted houses 7 months after they've been closed.
Okay. I know we all listen to some of the same stations, and you just inevitably, if you live in Los Angeles, you get in your car. By and large, especially if you're not 20. If you're in your 30s or 40s, you leave it on KFI a lot of times. And it's such a misleading crock of shit radio station.
Allegedly.
But there's nothing better. Uh-huh. And it's just a bunch of shit.
No, Petro's and money.
But they're on sports. I'm talking about the KFI is essentially one person trying to stretch out one topic no one gives a shit about for an hour. And they do that by taking calls.
I've really been
rallying missiles.
Against KFI
no,
in the last
I'm fed up with the stuff that I was mesmerized by like 20 years ago. When I first discovered talk radio, I thought, this is unbelievable. I didn't know you could even do this. I didn't know they had radio where people just discussed things and talked about it. And they were intriguing and engaging. And now you just go, why is this fucker on the radio? Why is this fucking woman on KFI in the afternoon? She's supposed to be funny. She's not funny at all.
I know who you're talking about. Can't stand!
Why is she
on the radio?
Cannot
stand her!
She's not interesting. She has nothing to fucking say.
Yeah, and she's pro-positive about everything.
Yeah, and
the way that she says her name makes me want to take the microphone and make her swallow it.
And you know what?
Until she can't
breathe
anymore.
And I don't even dislike her.
I just said it was very hateful.
And then the other thing
it's true, and I like her partner.
Wait, have there been any good Mike Diamond?
What time is it?
Lately?
They're not on any. Well, actually, that's not true. They went back to the
I'm glad I got
Mike
the car
Diamond.
At 12 o'clock because they're going to run fucking commercials till 12
okay,
11.
All right. Okay.
They're going to run 15 or 16 fucking commercials in
so,
a row.
I guess our AD advice
real quick,
for you.
I got to get something else off my chest. Mm-hmm. The other thing about talk radio, especially KFI, let me tell you right now, from experience, every goddamn thing they advertise on that radio is snake oil. Every fucking thing. That's
what is snake oil for?
Sleep Number mattress is a bunch of bullshit.
For massaging your pet snake?
Stupid fibromyalgia blankets. Bunch of fucking shit. Getting your teeth replaced for $400 a pop by that dentist.
You go
in the same day and you come out with new teeth.
If
not
you
true.
Can afford a new
Physically
car payment.
It's not possible for them to put implants in, let them set for 3 months, and then put the teeth on top. It's all a bunch of fucking lies. They're snake oil salesmen. Every one of those fucking hosts is unethical. They'll sell you anything to get money out of your pocket so they can stay on the air and not get regular jobs. Mm-hmm. My t-shirts go on sale tomorrow, or Friday.
The cult.
They go on sale Friday, actually.
How much does it cost to get into the cult?
$25.
Plus like a $50 processing fee.
And a used condom.
No, that includes shipping and everything. Packaging, shipping.
Oh, really?
And the PayPal fees.
Oh, you're talking about the shirt.
And
I'm
the
talking
shirts
about
were $8 each.
Getting into the cult. Oh, you're in the cult if you have a shirt?
Sort of.
Only when you're wearing the shirt or if you own it?
You know what I did because I'm selfish and greedy?
Do you have to have it
for
on?
For the first time in my life?
What?
I only allocated a very small amount of them for you guys to give away. Like, I got one for you. I took like 8 of them. I'm like, I'm giving these away. All the rest I'm putting on, which I already locked it in.
That's funny because I meant to bring you my shirts today. I have not done that.
We'll trade.
Okay, cool. All right, let's AD Vice. So what we're saying is do opposite of KFI, apparently.
No, and I'm just saying, use your head. Don't buy that shit, because I've fallen for it. I have that fucking $400 air purifier. It's a bunch of bullshit.
I don't think that's even remotely close to what the person writing in was asking about.
All right.
Sorry.
Yeah, how do we start a podcast? Don't buy the shit you hear on KFI. Okay.
Just make sure you enjoy doing it, because honestly, with this one, there's no way. This sounds so wrong. There's no way I would. There's no way I would do the film ball for free. But I do this one for free every week. So I think if you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah, and you know what? Start. And I'm starting to enjoy doing podcasts again too, and I do appreciate people that listen, because it takes time. It's time out of your life. Mm-hmm. Like when I waste an hour on someone's podcast and it's a waste, I'm pissed. And I vow to hunt that fucker down.
Nope.
Make them walk over some used condoms.
Okay. Any more AD Vice, please tell me you got something.
Yeah, give me a second.
Let me tell you something. If I go to that haunted house and I drop $75 and they tell me strip naked, I'm like, I'm out.
Well, I think you know that going in. I bet you like the first 30 minutes is them going over the bylines and training you how to deal with fear.
All right, Mike.
Signing things.
This one's for you. Get those coughs out, because this one's coming right at you, big boy. This comes from Mike, your fellow Mike. Says, hey, dudes, surf's up. I don't know what that's about, but just wondering what Mike thinks about litter bugs. Sincerely, Mr. Listener.
Well,
this is going to be the Corona rant.
Wait, I picture, before he starts, this is what I picture Mike, as far as litter bugs go, throwing out a giant bag of trash while screaming about how he saw a smaller piece of trash on the other side of his car.
This is like a reference to stuff I've talked about on my podcast, because I went off on some litter bugs a couple of weeks ago. And
I went off on some litter bugs.
It infuriated me to my core.
It really is one of those things where you got to train yourself, because for the first 15 years of my smoking life, without thinking about it, I threw them out. Now, if one falls out of my hand out the window, I'll drive back and get it.
I'm
petrified.
I'm talking about I was coming over the hill. There was a man in a minivan next to me eating, and we came to the stoplight on Laurel Canyon Boulevard, and I looked over because I saw hand motion, because he was sticking food in his mouth. And the light was still red, and he rolled the window down and took all of his trash and threw it out the window.
What?
Like, let it fall? It was a fucking rabbi. And I chased that motherfucker, and I got in front of him, and
it's hate crime.
And I had the camera ready to go, and I spent about 15 minutes all the way to Melrose to confront that guy face to face and just go, you piece of goddamn human shit.
And what happened?
Fucking, I never caught him. Got him.
The rabbi outraced you?
No, he got behind me, and then cars got in between us, and he made a left as soon as we got over the hill. And I was so livid. He took all of his garbage from his food and just, he rolled the window down.
It was kosher, at least.
Onto the ground.
Right.
Onto the fucking street. You are a selfish.
I've only seen that one time.
Are a self-centered, arrogant piece of shit.
I've seen people throwing shit out the window.
Everyone else lives here too, you goddamn motherfucker. There's
like
a
small,
fucking trash can.
Like individual items. I've only seen a full bag.
So he was a litterberg?
Every time I stop.
Litterberg! A litterman!
Every time I stop, there's a trash can within walking distance. It's infuriating. No, it's goddamn infuriating.
The only other time that I've ever seen, I didn't see the rabbi, but the only time that I've ever seen somebody take all of their trash, like from like two full meals, and just throw it out the window.
Was it when you saw it from your car?
No, it was a cop.
No.
Yes,
really?
Like in Alvarado Street, like downtown, like right next to Alvarado Park. And he was so blatant about it. He did it as he was going through the intersection, the crowded intersection. So like it landed right in the square. And it exploded. It burst.
I think that's goddamn unbelievable for you to think like, oh, it's someone else's problem.
You know,
and just go on with your life.
I do think it's terrible, but if you're gonna do it like that.
Like make big time
a
show.
Make a big
like
show
yeah, guy,
like,
he was doing it for
fuck
a point.
You.
Like, he wasn't doing it like with, he had a lot of thought behind that cop.
Yeah,
that did
he was trying
a lot
to
of thought.
Impress somebody.
He was trying to explain. This is my town. Maybe the rabbi, maybe his son, had just got a job as like a street cleaner. And maybe his job was in danger because there was
maybe
people
I'll just
saying,
calm down then.
Our streets are clean. We have trash cans. We don't need street cleaners.
My biggest issue with people is their self-centeredness. Me, me, me. I need to get in front of you. I'm in a hurry. Fuck you. Out of my way. It's just this big self-centered, a bunch of fucking dicks in
okay,
this town.
Actually, I was talking about
and
this with my camp fuck,
even worse.
My camp fuck friends this weekend, and we were talking about small towns and the different mentality, and how everyone in small towns they're very, very super nice to each other. Everyone, for the most part, everyone
you
knows
have
their
to
name.
See each other.
And is that why though? Because
no.
People, I think it might be though. I think that human nature is like if I can get away with it, I'll never see these people again.
I
I'm going to take my time in line in front of them.
I'd rather be nice to people. I'd rather. Be
I
in
absolutely
a town.
Would, but I think that maybe it's because
be
you
nice.
And I care what other people think of us more.
No, I'd rather be nice to people. I'd rather have people have some consideration. All of us have consideration for everybody else and not make it, I'm going to get ahead of you, me first, fuck you. You know, it's just after years and years of that, it wears on you. And then you're not nice to people. And then you start cutting people off and start giving, you know, fuck you then, fuck you. And then the whole city becomes a goddamn sick.
I'm still
cesspool.
Not there. I'm not there at all. I let everyone go in front of me for the most part.
You're
rarely get upset.
Calmer, much calmer than I am.
God, that feels good. It's weird because normally I'm not calmer than the person next to me at all.
I got to make sure I buy a car.
You need to
try
sleeping in coffins more often.
That's why I love you so
You know
much.
What? Since you said that, I'm thinking about it.
No, don't do that. Don't
no,
be
I'm
that
No, I'm
thinking
guy. About it. I would like to be – I like the cuddling cocoon aspect of it.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
You're very safe. You're very
I'm being serious,
incubated.
Because you know my shower that we had when we were with Madonna Inn? Uh-huh. I had the best shower, I think. Because my shower –
Did you try all the showers there? Well,
122 rooms. I went in three of them.
Okay.
I went in yours.
You went in three? Oh, it's true.
I just wanted to look at them. My shower was like a little cocoon. Like you had
to
step into it.
Him, officer.
Like you had to go, like not duck necessarily, but when you went in, it opened
up. What was your room again?
Cabin
the whiskey
still.
Cabin still. That's right.
The stabbing cabin.
Yeah. But it was a small room. You know, I had one of the less expensive rooms.
You know,
I
Drew
it.
Still thinks that you banged Diana Van Camp.
That's ridiculous.
Right. Drew's a crazy person. Drew's
I
a crazy person.
Take it back.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring care. The show to a screeching halt.
I have to say you're sorry. I think it's weird that they're so wrapped up in gossip that
he also thinks I'm going to be a raging addict of some sort.
His wife also believes in psychics.
Drew's Tyler is on his way to becoming a raging something.
What?
I just gave him some drugs.
Hopefully,
tonight.
Raging Cajun because those are always good.
I give him drugs.
Yeah, you got to watch out.
Oh,
then
get some crawl down. Need help?
It's the show over. Do we have any more AD advice?
Is you guys who are aficionados of the ways of young women who may be drug addled or looking for some strange.
Why? Because of Mike's camp
no,
world
no,
story?
Because of the past that you have both talked.
Yeah.
You clearly have more experience.
Yeah,
with,
we're aficionados of
drug
addled young women.
Yeah, that sounds very wrong.
That's an 86.
You'll understand when I ask the question.
They have their master's degree in underage girls
home,
on drugs.
When I was driving home from...
I had a nice 1989
from
yesterday.
The after disaster. When I was driving home from last week's AD on Thursday night at fucking like 2:30 in the morning or something like that.
Yeah.
I was stuck on the 210. Stuck on the one...
I got stuck on the freeway and I backtracked all the way to here and then took side streets home.
All right, what's going on?
I was stuck on the 110 at 2:30, 2:45 in the morning in those tunnels by Dodger Stadium.
Is this AD advice from you? What's going on?
Yeah.
Wait, why was there traffic at 2:30?
The cop was like
question.
Stopping everyone to like pick up trash or
trick
something.
Trick question.
There would have been some Litterbergs out
there. The reason there's traffic...
Litterbergs!
The reason there's traffic is because LA is run by incompetent fucking morons. It goes freeways for no reason when there's not one goddamn motherfucker in an orange vest out there working 24-7.
There was actually workers out there.
Yeah, well, they were talking.
Jesus, this story could take
Were they doing
seconds.
A podcast? Do you think that construction workers are just doing podcasts? Because they never work. They're just sitting there talking.
They're never working.
Sometimes they point out at a hole. Yeah. Like you'll see them pointing towards a hole, and
I'd love to see a fucking cobra jump out and latch onto their fucking orange vested face.
Very, very random. Okay,
fuck those guys. They never
All
do anything.
All right. Okay.
So a car is pulling alongside me, and I look over, and there's like at least two, if not three, girls, and then one or two guys in the car. And they start. This one girl, she's in the middle seat in the back. She's like leaning over, and she's like waving to me, and like on the phone, like, I'm like,
help.
What's going on? So I
you just keep your
roll
eyes
down the window. She's
ahead.
Like mid-20s. She looks like it's been a long night at the club. She's like, she might be hot, but she kind of has like the raccoon eyes and kind of like sweaty and like kind of Eastern European looking. Mm-hmm. And
sounds perfect.
Right in your wheelhouse. Very Khaleesi.
Oh, Khaleesi.
Jesus. Reel it in, Cohen.
She's the new Sarah Connor. Okay.
Sarah Connor is your...
She's playing Sarah Connor!
Oh, Khaleesi is. I thought you meant, like, to you, she's the new Sarah Connor.
No,
like,
that'd be
Sarah
the worst thing I've ever said in history.
That's the pinnacle. Right. She's the new Martha Stewart, you hear what I'm saying? For God's sake.
All right, so
she's
Raccoon Eastern Bloc is
waving
towards you.
Me,
yes.
So I roll down the window, and I'm like, hi, and she goes, you having party tonight?
Oh, man. You were about to get your kidney cut out?
No. She
now,
wanted a party.
Is she asking to go to a party, or if I have drugs, or if I want to party with them?
She's on drugs, like probably E or Molly.
She thought you might have some money or some booze or some drugs.
Everything's a good idea, and everything's positive, and there's a very good chance. And actually, it is true when you take all inhibitions away. It is true that a kid your age driving through that part of town might be on his way to an after party or something.
Yeah.
In her head, there's a chance that she might have found a party. They'll all follow you, and you guys
like
will all go.
I look like the least party.
No, dude. You got like the hair facial thing going. You're on the phone, so you're making deals. You're shaker.
Mover and shaker, man about town.
Motivator. Yeah.
I wish I knew what women were like when I was young, because I have seen so many girls just get, like, when they're a little fucked up, get hit on by the creepiest dudes and just go with them. Hey, we got some beers in our hotel room. Okay.
Where do you see this?
I when I was young, I used to see it all the time.
And oh,
be
yeah,
because
that's like a thing that used
like
to happen. That doesn't happen
anymore.
Yeah, but
how come I can't be that confident where I could talk to girls like that? And why are they going with these fucking weirdos?
Because those guys
that
get
just
turned
overly
down
hit
probably
on them.
8 out of 10 times. But then
probably.
2 out of those times, they're just like, sweet, it worked. It can handle the humiliation of getting turned down.
There are
times.
A number of guys out there that just play the quantity over quality.
That's so creepy. Yeah.
And, it's just they're missing
Gene
a part
Simmons.
Of their brain. That
Gene Simmons does that.
We have a ton. We have way too much of that in our brain. I don't know if I ever like went up and hit on a girl. I don't think I ever have.
I think I've overly flirted when I was drunk, but I don't think I've ever actually hit on somebody.
Have you ever approached a girl and be like, I want to talk to you?
I've never asked someone out on a date.
Yeah, neither have I. Neither has Catherine Wood. Yeah. All right. What are we doing? Let's put this baby to bed. What do you say? That means that I need dinner. It's way too early to be doing a program like this. And I got like 90 things on my mind right now. But if
and
you guys want to continue.
One? Is that a song?
99. Problems and a bitch is one.
Good show.
No, was it? I contributed nothing.
No, you did. You contributed
very, very little.
Do you guys spend a lot of time at dumps when you were kids?
Yes.
In Canada, dumps. I did.
I feel like that's a thing that kids these... I've only been to a dump...
Because you grew up in LA.
I've been to a dump...
I lived like 2 miles from a dump in El Monte.
Like, I would get to Canada, like...
It's called my elementary.
Deep, Walmart? Deep Ontario, and I'd be like... First thing I'd be like, to my grandpa, like, let's go to the dump. And we'd go out there, and there'd be like shells, from shotgun shells, all over the place. Yeah. People would go out there and just shoot the dump.
They shoot the rat.
Shoot
that's what they're shooting.
Yeah?
Yeah, they shoot like small animals.
But it's like they're like big shotgun shells.
Yeah, they shoot rats.
Well, no, it's sad.
People go to dumps at night and leave their headlights on, and the rats run into the headlights and they shoot them for kicks.
Is that a cartoon you saw?
No, that's
I feel
what
like
Mike's
either 100% correct or this has happened like twice.
That's what people have done at dumps for years and years since the 50s
Did
and
you
60s.
Ever see it happen?
I've never seen it happen, but I
can't. Uh-huh. I can't.
Where did you hear about it?
I think my dad might have told me, like, when we were in high school, we'd go to the dump and we'd leave our headlights on and we'd shoot the rats.
When do rats run towards headlights?
They go to where the garbage is and they run over it and stuff, and you sit out there with your friends having beers instead of going to, like, Inspiration Point where all the kids, good kids, are making out. You go shoot rats. That's a problem.
My dad told me this story. It's the same guy. Remember that?
I'd rather have my kid shooting rats at the dump than making out at Inspiration Point.
No, Oh, yeah, good point.
I'd rather have him making out at Inspiration Point.
Nah.
Yeah, make love, not dead rats. Okay. My remember that
shoot some dead rats and then bang.
Friend that I told you my dad had was back like in the 40s, because that's how old my dad is. And he told me when I was younger that he had this friend who would keep all of his baby making stuff. Every time he produced it.
It's hard to keep a friend that keeps that around.
In a jug?
Yeah, remember I told you, that same guy.
If you told me you kept jars of jizz all around your house, I would be like, I'm going to be honest with you, Anderson. I appreciate your friendship, but it's over. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, he invites you over for the first time. Just, by the way, I just got to let you know, you're going to see a lot of mason jars around. Never mind the
coffee. For anyone who's half listening, listen up right now, okay? Stop what you're doing and listen. I am not the one who has these jars. This is a friend of my dad's from the 40s.
He had the jars.
They were not mine. This is not my habit. Okay. But that same guy would take my dad. Yeah, I guess he was like my dad's older friend who was like a bad influence. And he figured out that if you took a pellet gun on the wires, like the overhead wires, like all the birds would sit on the wires. And they have like these little, like, I don't know, like electricity and how it works. But there's some kind of little like sheath that keeps the wires from not being electric. And he would shoot those off, and like once they got them off, they would become live wires, and like 90 birds would just fall dead immediately.
God.
How terrible!
It's terrible, but I'd like to see it happen once.
I can,
if there was footage of Edison doing it or something.
I can somewhat verify Mike's stories from my own family's experience, which was we used to have tree rats running around the backyard, and after dinner in the summer, we would throw open the kitchen window, get our BB guns, and sit by the window, put a light in the backyard.
I remember you telling us this. That's terrible. Yeah, that's awful.
It's pretty great.
No, it's not.
It was really fun.
Rats are cool. Rats were smart.
I had a pet rat. It was great.
Uh-huh. And then you would just kill the ones that were not your pets?
Yeah.
That's weird.
They're in the dark. It's scary.
Let's just go out and shoot Stanleys on the street if they're not mine. What do you say? What the fuck, Tyler?
Can you just go to the dump and just take stuff home?
No, it's different nowadays because I'm sure there's liability and there's lawsuits that are probably
taking place. God damn, the world sucks now!
But when I was a kid, when my dad was building things, I would end up taking truckloads of shit to the dump and they weighed the truck. You know?
Yeah, I know the bringing it and you pay to dump the stuff.
Yeah,
but
we would just pull up and we would just open up the back and my brother and I or whoever was forced to go take all the shit from my dad's construction work to the dump, we would just push it all out, and then we'd sweep the truck out right there.
And it didn't smell bad,
and
right?
It depends, but they constantly are wetting it down and constantly have tractors driving over everything the whole time to mash it down.
But it's not like a trash dump. It's like No, but it's not like where like you put your trash out
it's
on the street and the garbage can.
Absolutely.
Not the one that I used to go to in Canada all the time. It's not where the garbage trucks would go.
The one I went to was everything.
Yeah, the ones in San Diego, in fact, all the city trash trucks were lined up like 20, 30 deep, and they just dumped all that shit, and then a fucking bulldozer would just come like, you can drive over it, and they just keep mushing it down.
It was anything from like old furniture to diapers and food.
Yeah. Got a quick question about this here program before the program's put to bed. It's about the show, and it's been haunting me all week long. Tyler, you do this thing every now and again when neither Mike or say my life, and you say, in my life. What the fuck is that? I don't recall ever asking you, but it rings out in my head. And I was taking a shower the other day, and Tyler's voice was in my head just going, in my life. Can you explain what
in
that is?
In my life.
What is that? Why do you do it? It's probably come up on this here show probably 30 times over the last 4 years.
I don't know. All I know is that at one point I did it. And you guys just like kept telling your story. Like,
we gloss over it every time.
No one paid mind to it.
I don't think we ever have.
I just kept doing it. And it kept tickling my fancy that you guys never wondered what it was. I think.
Have you heard him say it?
Yes.
In my life.
Not because but you know what? I don't know if it's narcissism or what it is, but I just felt really guilty that I never acknowledged it either.
Well, because you acknowledged
it. I just went, I'll blow it off too. Ignore Tyler.
Tyler's really good, like, on that other plane. Like, my friend had a couple, like, live-in housekeepers, and it was weird. Like, they were in, like, another dimension. Like, you didn't really even notice them. They're, like, cleaning around you. It was kind of cool. And, like, that's kind of how you are on the show a lot of the time. But it's good. It's, like, a layer. But it doesn't have to be.
I'm kind of like someone's turned the DVD commentary track on, and you
really
guys didn't
realize.
Really loud. Yeah. Yeah. The only thing that I think it might be related to, I think there was an old, like, when Christoph Waltz, I think the first time he was on SNL, or it might have been like a Funny or Die sketch or something like that. He's like pretending to be an old actor looking back on his career. And I think he says something like, in my life. And I just love the way that he like said it in that Christoph Waltz.
Zero,
voice.
Zero payoff.
So
I think it might have been possibly this and here.
Okay.
What?
There was no payoff. But I'm glad that you you know exactly what I'm talking about, and it tickled your fancy
I've
again.
I've like two tweets in the entire years that I've been doing. They're like, what is that in my life?
In my life.
All right, we can't do it anymore now without it being noticed. We're on to you. And
I bet I will absolutely sneak it in again.
I bet you won't. All right, try and do that. I bet you can't.
Okay.
Because I hear everything.
You guys are going to be like, oh, yeah, this one time in my life.
Oh, I got a new theory about how commercials are making all of us dumber, at least me, because like I am so anti anyone getting anything over on me or like tricking me into anything that I've like actively taught myself to tune messages out.
Yeah.
Because we're constantly being
good.
Bombarded.
Good.
But it carries over into like things that I should know about, too, where I'm just tuning everything out all the time.
The ads on the Film Vault, you're just tuning those babies out?
No, those are really important.
They are.
Yeah. But everything else, like I tune out like new knowledge, new stuff. Like, so
I got to tune out the new knowledge.
Yeah, I am. It's all getting thrown in.
Hey, you want to hear something interesting?
That's what happens. That's what happens. Except for this program, I always pick up everything from you guys.
I find myself
slogan for a radio station.
I find
tune
myself
tune out the new knowledge.
Listen to a guy who tunes out new knowledge on a daily basis. All right, what?
I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm with you. I can't stomach advertisements anymore.
All I do is just think, all right, that's especially a really reads. Manipulative, really, really manipulative way. Like I told you when I was at AT&T a couple weeks ago, right? And thank God Jillian wasn't there because I was just like, all right, way to go, AT&T. You've completely fucked me. Checkmate. Well done.
Yep.
Good manipulation on your part. I didn't see that one coming. Now you've really fucked me. Thanks a lot. I get way less now for the same price. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm locked in.
Me and Mike were talking about last week before the show about how if like people discovered podcasts as a glimpse into human past, they would just think that there was four companies in the world. LegalZoom, Stamps.com, Audible, and
Amazon.
Yeah, maybe Amazon.
That's not what we're talking about at all.
No, but I mean that.
Hey, just for the record,
you would think that you would hear every, you would listen to the top 20 podcasts and go Audible.
Squarespace
books.
Must own everything.
Squarespace,
Squarespace
yes.
must be like Skynet. Yes.
Those ads that are on the Film Vault, I can tell you guys this: it's pretty much just for trade. It's like so that we can get our ads on other places. So it's like instead of us buying ads for the Film Vault, we got a deal where we
do you
run
see
a couple
numbers going
ads.
Up?
I don't really pay attention to that stuff, but apparently they're going up slowly. Whatever. I'm happy with the numbers. I'm not looking to make the show way bigger. It is annoying that there's lesser film podcasts out there that I've listened to that are almost unlistenable that get way more recognition. That kind of bothers me a little bit, but that's natural. And
sure.
You know, it's not a big deal.
You're being...
I'm quite pleased that we have the listenership that we do and that we're able to make a couple bucks on it. That being said, I would do this show for free.
And a big and thank you to everyone who has been leaving new reviews for us on iTunes.
Oh yeah, it helps us.
We've been showing up on the group talk section, which is on the front page of podcasts, which is pretty sweet. And then also on some of the...
What's a very famous podcast?
That's a very famous podcast, of course.
People know the truth about the show? Like it did have a chance because it was associated with Loveline officially. And then a man came in who was very old. And said ridiculous things like Tina Turner would be the perfect guest for Loveline. I mean, he was just so out of touch. And he actually, I love the idea of that
Crosby's
man.
Crosby's grandson can come in here and croon some of the old timey songs.
This man was very, very out of touch. I'm not going to give details, but
so sweet leather jackets, though.
Seriously out of touch. Yeah, he wore a members only leather jacket.
You can wear whatever you want.
And he actually listened to the show once because he was very worried about the Loveline brand. I mean, that was his job. And he actually, I love the idea of that guy sitting down and listen. This guy woke up at 5 a.m. every morning and like ate a hard-boiled egg and read the newspaper. He listened to this here program and then went straight to the boss, the B that owns everything.
I don't think we can have that associated with us anymore.
It was more like immediately get that show removed and distanced from Loveline. Immediately. That was his recommendation. And then the cunt! Excuse my language, I'm sorry, but I saw him. I saw that little fucker. You were with me, too. Like, the same week that he did that, I saw him, because we had to go to a meeting, and he was there, and he saw me by my socks. I was walking with you down a hall, and he approached me and goes, "Oh, Anderson, I'm so sorry. I heard what happened to the after disaster. I'm so sorry."
Who
what
is
a
that
piece
guy?
Of shit, right?
Who is that guy?
He's done. He's gone. He's no longer
he's the guy I almost texted the other day, accidentally.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you off air. You got to tell me something horrible, too.
Yeah, I got something horrible to tell you, too.
Sweet. All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks for not listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Is that it?
Sorry I said cunt right at the end.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Sorry I yelled, too. My voice hurts.
Also, I think people enjoyed our kind of our hypothetical conversation that ended up to us talking about death and like when you want to die and if you want to know and stuff. So if you have other hypotheticals you'd like us to discuss, send it to theafterdisaster@gmail.com.
I don't know why, but that plug made me feel dirty.
Okay. In my life.